What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners.
It's a new year, and with T-Mobile, it's not about how far apart we are. It's about how close we can be. So we're bringing out our best deal. Right now, get the iPhone 12 on us on every single plan with eligible iPhone trade-in.
So I can FaceTime with my sister in Savannah.
That's right. The iPhone 12 on us on every plan. All on America's 5G leader in coverage. T-Mobile.
With 24 monthly bill credits and a new line plus tax. If you cancel, credit stop and balance on required finance agreement may be due. Contact us for well-qualified buyers. Qualifying consumer plan required. See coverage and offer details at T-Mobile.
Hey everybody, what's up? This is Isaac Weishaupt from IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a very special podcast for you today. We're going to have a very special guest. She's a member of the Watcher community. You might have seen her comments online under the pseudonym of Skyrim. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. She's got a background that includes some study into the Kabbalah and witchcraft, and she's got some theories on why we're being surrounded with all these symbols that I've been pointing out on the website for years. So buckle in as we take a journey.
So hey everyone, I've got a special guest here on the line. This is kind of an interesting concept here that we're doing because, you know, I've been trying to come up with ways to make this podcast work because it's kind of a pain to get guests and make a time and all this stuff. And I've got a guest on here who reached out to me through the website, and it kind of clicked in my head like, hey, this is a great idea. We should just have guests on the show because I get some pretty insightful stuff emailed to me or Facebooked to me or commented. And the person I've got on the phone here left some pretty awesome comments, and we kind of had some good conversations on email. So, you know, she goes by Dovahkiim, and today we're going to really get into some cool stuff. So Dovah, is it Dovahkiim one name, or is that two? Is that like a first name, Dovah?
No, Dovah is okay, because the dragon Parthenax speaks that. So, that's fine. But yeah, I'm Skyrim fiend on the website.
So. Right. Yeah, on the comments, you go by Skyrim. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be the first to admit, like, I don't really know. Like, I play video games a little bit, and from what I gather, this is a video game name, right?
It is. It's a video game by Bethesda Softworks, and it's an amazing free world game, and it's very Viking-like and Norse, and I've been playing it for a couple of years and nothing really compares to that. So I've done the BioWare. This is my home base is Skyrim, but kind of fits because I have this like dragon fascination and I like chameleons too. I mean, anything that's dragon like I'm into.
Oh, you're not a shapeshifter and reptilian, are you?
Yeah, no, but I have some theories on that, but
cool. Yeah, we'll get into that too. I'll make a little note here. We'll make sure we don't miss that one. I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my mid 30s and I kind of grew up on video games, but I don't know, the older I get, the harder it is to find time to do them. And there's not that many that really grab me. I play BioShock. I love those games and that's about it though.
Yeah.
So I've never really played Skyrim, but I've heard of it.
No, I'm the same. I'm the same spot as you, I'm the same age group, but I guess, you know, it started with like Tolkien and Lord of the Rings and, Dungeons and Dragons, which, you know, oddly, I do think that, and this sort of comes back to what we were talking about before, and that is, you know, that you have a group of people that become fascinated with certain subject matter and where that fascination can lead you. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, this you know, the Tipper Gore of this stuff, you know, because admittedly I'm a hypocrite. I'm still going to see all these movies. I'm still playing the games, but you know, I'm right, sure I still listen to everything I'm about to say to you. It's total hypocrisy because I'll still put on Led Zeppelin.
Dude, I'm right there with you. And a lot of people don't understand that. What kind of makes me sad is I feel like a lot of people are like you and I, that the people that get into this stuff, we get into it because we have this, you know, like I'm a fan of all of these things. Like I'm into some pretty hardcore. I used to be into some pretty hardcore stuff. I've kind of disciplined myself to back off a little bit the more I learn about how all this works, but that doesn't mean these are my enemies. I mean, I guess they're kind of my enemies on one level, but like on the other level, it's like, well, you know, I kind of like some of this stuff, you know, but yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people like you and I out there that, you know, we're not, this isn't like a judgmental thing. This is more of an interest thing. And we kind of want to explore it and say, okay, is this, are we being manipulated? And you know, the more evidence we kind of gather, the more it seems like, yeah, there's some heavy occult influence out there. And you know, what do we do with that? You know,
there is, I mean, and you know, like, again, some of this we touched on before, you know, this particular aspect of the call started. But I guess, okay, here's the way to bridge what I want to talk about. And that would be, I'll just go to Led Zeppelin because that kind of started it for me. I was explaining, you know, before how my mom had come home and was like, you know, just out of the blue, this is the devil's music. And, you know, I got introduced to Led Zeppelin through people like Kurt Cobain, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, you know, and like all the Seattle rockers would always say like, oh, you know, Led Zeppelin was the biggest influence. So, you know, I kind of went backwards in time, and I mean, I was reading everything from Hammer of the Gods to I'm with the Band, you know, that Pamela DeBar groupie story.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, she kind of confirmed that they were into this black magic, and or at least, you know, Jimmy Page, definitely. And, yeah. You know, and then I started like, you know, I mean, I really went down the rabbit hole with Jimmy Page. Like, here's the guy who bought Bolestein House, you know, Aleister Crowley's house in Scotland, you know, the one in Loch Ness. Then he buys his house in Chelsea Street in London. And the weird thing is, nowhere in Hammer of the Gods does it say that his house was on Chelsea, right? And yeah, they didn't give the exact street number of the one in London, but I just, out of the blue, I said, oh, I think it's on Chelsea Street. And then I went and looked it up, you know, on the internet, and darn if it wasn't. But, so, I mean, and you look at, like, so Jimmy Page got into magic by reading Tolkien. And, you know, there's a lot of this element to it. Even though Tolkien was a Christian and C.S. Lewis was a Christian, it's interesting that a lot of people get into Wicca and magic from reading their books. And, you know, I don't know if it's that we're longing for something that's more pure and simple than what we think modern religion is. I don't know what it is, but people do tend to, the same people that go to like LARP and D&D conventions are also the people that, you know, are usually alternative religion. You're not all like, right. You know, you're not really finding Southern Baptists dressing up, you know, like a pixie and going out and fighting on weekends. I mean, there is some element that they sort of, you know, kind of bridge that and get you there. And I'm not trying to be judgmental that, you know, these people that follow Wicca, I'm not calling them Satanists. I'm not calling them anything like that. I'm just saying that they're in an alternative religion.
Right, right. And I think, like, the more I learn about, because I'm, you know, you sound pretty well versed on all this stuff, and I'm fairly well versed. But I'm still learning. And anyone who thinks they've got it all figured out, you know, is probably not. But the more I learn, it seems like to play off what you're saying there, the people that get into this stuff, into more like this Wicca stuff, they're you know, mostly the Hot Topic goth kids, the kids that are the outcast at school or whatever. And it seems like the system is set up to capture these people who don't fit into, you know, Johnny Football Star or whatever, and they kind of steer them into these occult beliefs. And they do it by, and I'll admit, I wasn't a goth kid by any means in high school, but I didn't fit into the popular or jock or preppy mold.
I agree with you. And I think that for a long time, those were the only people that, quote, they. I mean, I'm just going to say they. I'll explain later who I mean by they, but for now I'm just going to say they were reaching a certain segment. That would be the Dave Navarros, you know, the Kurt Cobain, who, by the way, is also tied to Jimmy Page through Burroughs. But, you know, that's another rabbit hole. They both were friends with this man. And who's also related to Kenneth Anger, and who's also related to Aleister Crowley, and it just keeps going and going.
Right. It always ties back to Crowley somehow, is what I'm finding.
Oh yeah, he's really the father of the 20th century. I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, even our NASA program's tied to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, and I mean, I can go on to, and I often have this conversation with people who are into Wicca. Which is God and goddess, and you've got the divine male and female. And the only way I can even break through with them on some of this, you know, because they're so, like, afraid of Christianity, is to explain that Aleister Crowley's Thelema is a very male-dominated religion.
he was kind of oppressive against women. He kind of looked at them as, you know, just items to be used for whatever purpose he wanted, from what I gather.
Yeah. I mean, it really isn't a balanced magical religion either. But as I was saying, I mean, you know, so for a long time, you just had that sort of fringe group of people, you know, that were getting involved in this, but that wasn't the mainstream. And I think the thing that's changed, I'll blame Jay-Z, is, you know, now all of a sudden they sort of are targeting that huge audience of people that are into hip hop and pop. And that is what has just exploded to the point where I'm like, something is coming soon, because they are absolutely making a move to reach the widest audience possible.
You know,
stuff. And
that,
you know,
that point you bring up is, I don't want to cut you off. I just don't want to, I want to kind of talk about some of these points so that people listening who maybe aren't familiar with a lot of this stuff, it's, to me, it seems like I'm right there with you. I feel like we have this rap music that happened in the mid 90s where it started getting into gangster rap, and I believe they saw the ability to make money off of this, at the same time push a certain message, and
with Eminem. Yeah,
right. So you got all this kind of lineage of rappers that goes back, and it picked up right at the time that the satanic panic of the rock industry kind of went overboard, and they were really over it with their satanic symbolism. And, you know, and so they had to tone it down because they were getting a lot of heat. So then I feel like they went over to rap music and said, okay, let's go this route. Because if you look at the history of rap, it started with the gangster stuff that was popular. Then they mainstreamed it. Now we're seeing this weird genre where we don't know, like, people don't realize there's pop music and rap music. It kind of seems like the same thing at this point. And right. If you look at marketing and all this stuff, like for fast food and toys, like they market to little kids, which is a disturbing thought, but that's how it works. So it's strange that they're marketing pop music to younger and younger audiences. And
well, I don't think it's strange. I mean, I think, like I said, something I think is coming. I mean, it's that synchronicity. At a certain point, you can't deny it. Like, and part of why I started commenting on your site is because I do see a change. Like, I see people are kind of waking up to this. Like, at first they were like, oh, it's just crap. You're seeing things. And now it's like, it's everywhere.
Right.
And one of the things, like, you know, I know you got to talk to Freeman, and I'm extremely jealous. but, you know, he's very good at saying this symbol is from here and this symbol is from there. And what I wanted to touch on that is that, you know, I did study a lot of witchcraft, and I studied Kabbalah, and I, you know, studied Jewish mysticism and even Hinduism. Like, it was funny, when I started taking yoga, I was just shocked. But my point is that part of witchcraft is you create sacred symbols to bind demons or to bind something. You use symbology and sigils specifically to contain or to oppress something. Like, if the black magician uses them to oppress, right? the quote good magician would use them to contain, you know, something they didn't want out of that. But the thing is, now we have our smartphones, we've got our tablets, we've got our computers, we've got TV, we've got open up our shelves, open up everything, t-shirts. We are constantly now bombarded with spiritual warfare. And I don't have any other word for it, but we are constantly encased in symbols now. And the symbols that we're being encased in, you know, they're not like the little shell sign, you know, they're not these more positive symbol. You know, we're literally being, you know, surrounded by black magic symbols.
Yeah, that's the triangle stuff that everyone, like, anytime something, there's like all these memes online where people mock the conspiracy theorists because of the triangle stuff, like, you know, you've seen them, everyone's seen them. There's like silly things where like, oh, there's a triangle, it must be Illuminati, ha ha ha, and they don't realize that the triangle is what's, like you were saying, it's used by magicians to manifest a demon inside of, or whatever they, you know, or for white magic to contain the demon or spirit or whatever you want to call it.
But see, I don't even think all of those people are even skeptics. I sometimes think, you know, they still have people out there that are like, you know, promoting their stuff by scoffing it. You know, that Screwtape letters, you know, between Wormwood and the devil, where he's like, oh, no, you know, just tell him I don't exist. You know, you know, it's more try to mock it. It's like Katy Perry's little interview where she's like, you know, I mean, she knows exactly what she's doing, because when you look at the photo shoot, they tell them, put your hand like this, put your hand over your eye, do this and that. She knows she's being scripted to do these symbols, but when she does her little interview, she's like, oh, people see triangles everywhere. They see that, you know, and she's just sort of mocking it. And yet she knows that they tell her in the photo shoot, put your hand like this, put this over your eye. You know, she knows that that's happening. So, you know, they have to mock it. But then some don't even bother anymore. I mean, you know, they're just so like out there with it. And
that's what I never understood when I have arguments with people about this stuff. I said, oh, okay, let's we see all these images of people covering up the one eye. I looked through my, you know, my personal life, my friends on Facebook. I'd look through their photos. I've never seen anyone do that. So if it's so silly, why doesn't the media just ask the question? Just say, okay, here's a picture, you know, talk to the Katy Perry. Here's a picture of you doing this. Why did you do that? And then she can either say, because I was told to, I have no idea what that means, or, you know, whatever. She'd probably say, oh, the Illuminati told me to do it. And then the journalist would drop it and say, ha ha ha. And that would be it, which is generally what happens, is they drop the issue. They need to really like dig in and say, no, for real. Do you know what that means? Do you know why you're doing that? You know, and they don't do that.
Right. But she's not going to go to the type of interviewer that would do that anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like she's going to go to an alternative news magazine anymore, you know, that's going to ask. I mean, you know, they always get fluff questions anyway. I mean, the only person that I can almost trust that at some point will blow it will be Kanye, because he's sort of like teetering on it. And, I don't know what is going on with him, but I almost think he's having a breakdown. Because, you know, a lot of times in life, like I've personally have gotten away from my religion, gotten really wrapped up in some of this stuff. I mean, like I really did for a while there, and, until it scared me. And then you have that point where, I mean, like really strange things were happening to me. Yeah. I was seeing those shadow figures in the room. Like I sat up in bed one time, screamed, scared the crap out of the person with me, and you know, because I thought there was like a you know, like a mugger in my room with a balaclava on, you know, it's like it was that it looked like a robber or burglar or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was nobody there, and I started having, like, I would wake up with I have to believe it's psychosomatic holes in my arm, and you know, just strange things were happening. And
this was like after you started. So let me rewind a little bit for the audience. So just give us you know, your life in a brief 1 minute breakdown. Like you were born and raised, what religion, and then you started practicing.
Oh, Catholic. I was born and raised Catholic. It was sort of loose, though. I mean, you know, we'd go to church. It was mostly C&E Catholics. Every once in a while, my parents would be like, oh, go through a phase where, you know, you went.
C&E Catholics, you know, that's like Christmas and Easter, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, because I'm Orthodox Christian and Eastern Orthodox, and yeah. We call them submarine Christians, where, you know, because a lot of us show up on just Christmas and Easter, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So anyway, so you were kind of casual Catholic,
right? And you know, and then I sort of got away. I always liked Jesus, though. And here's the strange thing: it's like, you know, God always scared me, but Jesus I like. So even when, and I think this is the one thing that kept me okay, is because even when I started like, and I got into like Kabbalah through a Jewish rabbi. And, but we started talking because he liked Jesus too. Rabbi Weissman. And, you know, and he was the one teaching me Hebrew and all these things. But then when I got into this other stuff, like I was telling you about the synchronicity and it started basically with yoga. You know, I started reading Thich Nhat Hanh, Living Buddha, Living Christ. And I became more open to a theosophical point of view of all religions being one. And as soon as you start thinking that, then, you know, that opens you up to things like, you know, Wicca and more naturalist things and being female. And a lot of people aren't going to buy into this, but there are women that understand what I'm talking about. You get a group of women together, strange things will start to happen. And I think that when these entities see that you are vulnerable, they're more apt to make themselves known. And when one little spell works or one little thing, or, you know, these fantastic things that happen that, you know, happen right after you did XYZ, you delve more and more into it. But I never would give up Jesus because I always thought that dude was way cool. And in my darkest moments in life, you know, if I was sad, if I was lonely, if I was depressed, I'd always have, you know, Jesus. And I think that that was sort of my lifeline out, you know, and that whole Jesus, that whole judge a tree by its fruits, you know, the philosophy contained in the Gospels. And I still have a great love for Buddhism, even though I left the rest of this behind. I still have, you know, Jesus and the Buddha are very cool. I mean, that whole... Yeah. All good stuff. Love your neighbor.
There's lots of beauty in a lot of these belief systems.
Yeah. I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of the poor. Take care of other people. Have compassion. Love your enemies. I mean, you know, it's like, how can you go wrong with that?
Yeah.
But it sort of kept me on track. And I, you know, there's a certain point that everybody that sort of delves in this will go to where you have that choice to go left or to go right. And the night that I had that, I literally had a voice in my head say, don't do it. And, you know, I mean, maybe some other time I'll talk about it. It was more of a personal thing, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I sort of clapped back to the Gospels. And I remember I just was so scared that night. And I just kept reading the Gospels over and over until I felt warm and happy again.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, kind of, you know, sort of got back into it. But then when I got back into it, I did so with a real knowledge of what else is out there and what's going on. And I mean, you know, I've had synchronicitous events. Like I know I told you about that time I was on a train coming back from New York City. A guy sits down beside me and, you know, he had just got on. So it wasn't like he saw me in a different car. And I'd been reading, somebody had given me David Icke's The Biggest Secret. And I thought, what a bunch of crap, you know. But the guy sits down and it was in my bag. It's not like he could see it. The bag was zipped and he goes, so are you into snakes? And I said, what? And, you know, the way I looked at him, he just got up and left. And around Delaware, a kid comes over, sits beside me, hands me a card. I mean, you know, and says, just go to this website. And I thought it was so weird, you know. And I go there and it's this Ashtar command site of, like, you know, this the White Brotherhood and Pleiadians and, you know, and all this weird stuff. And, you know, it leads you to this understanding of you know, maybe there is something to this Old Testament, you know, stuff of the Nephilim and this Ishtar and these gods and stuff. I mean, maybe all of these people that are channeling, like, I used to think that they were just making this crap up.
Yeah.
Maybe they are channeling something.
Yeah, they, you know, they definitely believe they are. And
yeah, and it, you know, and the more I think about it, like, you know, the stuff that they're saying, you know, it says that, and the devil that shall deceive him will come as an angel of light. You know, I mean, like, you know, the devil's not going to be like a Slayer album where he's all like, you know, because that's going to scare everybody. You know, it's not going to be a GWAR concert. You know, it's going to be just like at the end of, you know, Devil's Advocate, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
Where he's, you see,
the smooth talking entertainer type kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's going to be, you know, I mean, it's going to be just like the serpent in the garden. Well, you want knowledge, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, but they don't tell you what price that knowledge comes at.
Yeah, a lot of those ancient left hand path religions, like we were talking about earlier, the Hindu left hand pathers and the Buddhists and stuff. A lot of that stuff ties into the mythos of Prometheus being the light bringer. Who, mm-hmm. you know, they think Satan. They don't think of him the same way Christians do. They think of Satan as, well, he's the real hero. He's the one that tried to enlighten mankind and show us that we don't have to be slaves to this white bearded god, and that's one of the reasons they worship him, it seems like.
Well, I had this conversation with someone who's, you know, who's always quote playing the devil's advocate, who's like, well, you know, he brings knowledge, he, you know, and I said he also brought a job. I said before that, you know, we just kind of like sat around playing in a garden, picking and eating, and then, you know, Satan gives us capitalism. I said, 'cause from the second we had enlightenment, we got to get a job. You know, right. We got to start going to work. We got to start doing this stuff. I said, so big deal, you know. I said,
right, right.
You know, he brought us nothing but work. But, you know, yeah, I mean, they do see it as sort of a, well, you get this knowledge. Well, I mean, you do, but you also get the burden of that knowledge as well. And, you know, you don't get the, you know, the fine details in that. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I mean, I go back, this is such a huge conversation, so I won't even get into the Old Testament, but, you know, I do see what you're saying, you know, that they do sort of highlight Lucifer as, you know, the light bringer, as a bringer of knowledge, but, you know, and knowledge is good, and that's how people, you know, but it's a balance and moderation. People get into these arts, you know, slowly, you know, they see something work, or like with me, with Kabbalah, this was so intriguing to me, you know, this, the nature of the universe, is in numerology, it's in Hebrew, and you want to know more and more and more, but you know, at what cost? You know, you don't hear about the downside to some of this stuff, you know, that it takes over your life, and that, you know, things, the more knowledge you get, it's hard to have knowledge and not have vanity.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because you can only, you know, it's kind of like these new age books and thought processes that, you know, because I watch Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, and you know, she's a big old new ager. I mean, and I've read a ton of these new age books and self improvement books, and honestly, they've helped me a ton. I can't deny that a lot of them, it's a good positive message. It helps you overcome a lot of mental kind of obstacles you've got going on, and self-esteem and yada, yada, yada. But it does open the door for like, oh, okay, you like the new age stuff. Try a little yoga. That'll clear your mind up. Oh, you like yoga. Do this Kundalini serpent reversal yoga, and
yeah.
You know, and you just go further and further into the, and then you find yourself with Kabbalah, and then evoking these weird spirits from the dark side of the Kabbalah, and
yeah,
you know, so yeah, it's a very kind of elaborate and interesting system. I want to talk to you about the you were telling me a story about September 10th. And
right.
So let's go into that. I want the people to hear that story.
Okay. So, you know, like I was saying, I sort of absorb factoids, you know, and I have this like just Rolodex of fun and weird facts in my head. Not all fun, but weird facts. And September 10th, myself and some coworkers were all sitting around at a kebab place and talking about, you know, just Islam and things. And I recalled seeing on CNN the day before that Osama bin Laden's son had gotten married. And I said to them, you know, this could be, because I just read that somewhere, a sign to set off a terror attack somewhere. You know, they use these videos on TV as signals. And people were like, oh, really? You know, well, what would they do? And I just, you know, and I had read this too, that Osama bin Laden was always frustrated that they never were able to take down the Trade Center. And that, you know, he had thought it was like the symbol of America and, you know, all this stuff. And I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe the Trade Center. And, you know, and we just talked about other things and it was just a blurb. And, you know, I was driving to work the next morning. I'm getting out of my car and the people that were there with me the day before at lunch are all huddled around Jerome's car. And they're looking at me and I said, what? And they turned up DC 101. And there they're talking about the Trade Center getting hit. Well, the Chinese girl, you know, she's very superstitious and she's like, are you some kind of witch? Are you some kind of witch? How did you know this? How did you know this? And I remember thinking, wow, am I some kind of witch? How did I know? I think it's somewhat of it is synchronicity. But I also, since that point, I sort of developed this theory of a psychic internet because I started reading about how other people, just random people, had dreams about planes and stuff that night before. And oh my gosh, I forgot. Yeah. So that night, that morning, I even had a dream about New York, but there was a parade and there was confetti everywhere.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners. What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
So when I saw all the papers flying around from 9/11, it was just like my dream. I forgot that I didn't tell you that part.
Is this before or after you were kind of dabbling with the witchcraft and learning about Kabbalah and all that stuff?
Well, I was learning about Kabbalah at this point. Okay. It wasn't. I hadn't gotten into Wicca yet. I think it was probably a year or two later. I went with someone to. They have these festivals here in my state, and I went on one of them.
Now, how did that make you feel when you did see the you know, the 9/11 incident happen? How did that make you feel? Like, did you feel kind of like, wow, that's crazy, I predicted it? Or were you kind of like freaked out?
I was freaked out, but then... You know, I still.
But you didn't associate it with Kabbalah or nothing like that. It wasn't like that. It was just kind of like, that was weird.
No. There's still this Catholic thing in me because, you know, it's like I live in Virginia and, well, you know, we had the Pentagon get hit too. So, I mean, you know, for 2 days, everybody is traumatized. And I almost think, I'll go down my 9/11 truth or some other time, but everybody was traumatized. So you're not really thinking beyond. Your whole world had changed. I mean, it's like that day, people in New York and in Virginia, you were subjected to constant, somebody seeing a flame here, somebody, you know, it's like people were just so paranoid calling stuff in. It was utter chaos.
Wow.
So I don't really know beyond, I think I thought the end of the world was coming and that we were in the last days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still kind of do, to a certain degree, I think something's coming. But I, at the time, I expected it to come a little sooner. But
yeah, if you look back and if you can look in hindsight, you can see that 9/11 was definitely like a pivotal change. And to look back at the last 100 years, it seems like 1947 was a pivotal year because of, you know, Roswell happened, Crowley mm-hmm. died, World War II with the Hitler and his occult stuff, and they had, you know, after that we had 63 with JFK got assassinated, that people still argue whether or not that was staged, and then we've got 9/11. It feels like there's like three big, you know, right. monumental moments that kind of like changed history.
Well, I mean, I think that I probably sent you something on this, but I believe that there is, because, you know, we are in a physical body, but we're spiritual people. And so we do have an element of that spirituality that we can tap into if we are aware, if we're at peace, if the conditions are right. I don't care who it is. I mean, I believe in mysticism. There were Christian mystics. That's the only way I'm dabbling anymore. But I do believe that we are creatures of spirit if we remember that. But one of the things that, you know, I think people, you know, you hear it a lot, like Beyonce with Sasha Fierce, or, you know, you'll hear tons of performers now saying, oh, well, I channeled so-and-so, or I did this or that. I'm going to tell you, I write, and I had started writing a book, and it was like in my head, but I just didn't have time to finish it. But I remember telling a friend of mine about it, and I was like, well, this was my idea. And she's like, oh, I love that idea. And then she came to me, I want to say 2 years later, and said, is this you? And handed me a book that was pretty much the exact same story that I had come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me start thinking that there is such a thing as muses, something like that, that maybe a story needs to get out, or a song needs to get out, or something. And, you know, if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it. And yeah, I think that
they all talk about it. All the yeah. artists talk about that stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh, I heard this, or I had, you know, and I think that when you are open to these things, and you have to be careful. I mean, when you are open to this world, it's open to you. You know, it's that whole, well, Nietzsche stole it from the Romans, but, you know, if you stare into the abyss long enough, it'll stare back at you.
Mm-hmm.
There's some danger in that, you know?
you talked about on one of your emails that we were kind of volleying, you said you think Beyonce might be the Scarlet Woman that Crowley yeah. talked about. You think maybe that's it? Like maybe she, cause you know, she had a Christian background as well. And mm-hmm. now she's talking about channeling these spirits of Sasha Fierce and Beyonce and all these things. You think maybe she opened up the channel, and maybe this Scarlet Woman, who historically we've had, you know, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons tried to channel the spirit of the Scarlet Woman. Maybe they did. And Beyonce opened up herself to that.
Well, Aleister Crowley did too. I mean, you can look up her picture. I mean, she was nowhere near as hot as Beyonce, but yeah, he, I do believe that, but I also think it can lead. That's the other thing that, one of the things that I wanted to sort of touch on is that, you know, these are spirits, we're bodies, but it doesn't mean that they're always going to stay with you. I mean, it's like even Jesus said, you know, if a spirit will go away, it could come back. You know, I do think that, for example, Lady Gaga, she was hot at one point, and you can, her hairdresser told the story of her actually lifting off the ground. Like, he just wouldn't do her hair anymore. He was a black hairdresser, and it was a Christian. And he said, you know, she started talking to strange voices, all this stuff happened. He goes, I'm not doing her hair anymore.
Mm.
And there was a point where Lady Gaga was acting very shrewd. She gave good interviews. She was, you know, wearing strange outfits, but they were touching something. Like, there was a touch point. She had tons of little monsters. She's selling out tours, all this stuff's going on. And then she somehow loses it. And it's almost like it's gone and she can't get it back. You know, she's stumbling in interviews. Nobody's buying her albums. She's just not the same.
Right. She isn't.
And, right. And the thing with Beyonce is I've said this before, like, you know, she has whatever this entity is now. But the second that people are like over her, because people are fickle, it doesn't matter if it's even wonderful. I mean, it's like it could be the best food in the world, chocolate, but after a while you're sick of it. And I think that, you know, at a certain point it is going to leave Beyonce and go to someone else. I don't know if that someone else is Katy Perry. I don't know if that someone else is, you know, some new star that's coming up. I don't know. I don't think it's going to stay with her.
That's an interesting thought, and I could totally see that. It seems like, because I personally don't, you know, Beyonce's all right and all, but I don't particularly think her music's that good that she kind of deserves the attention she gets, honestly. I think she's all marketing and gimmicks, but you know, they do seem to worship her, and you see the images and the videos of her acting like she's possessed and all that weird stuff. So maybe you're right. Maybe this kind of spirit enters these artists, and the people in the entertainment industry are aware of it, and like they talk about it in the inner circles, like, oh, you know, do you see so and so's Beyonce's got the Scarlet Whore in her now or whatever, and then they put her up on a pedestal for, you know, because through Beyonce's body people worship this entity that the occult want to worship. So I don't know, that's a good theory. I like that.
Well, and I also think they had to target Black people, because Black people have been historically serious up into Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they needed a way to break into that. And I'm white, but I have been to Black churches. I swear, I mean, it's like the spirit is rolling when you were there. You know, I mean, they are some of the most religious, like, just God-filled people. And I honestly think that, you know, Beyonce and some of this other, you know, using Jay-Z, Beyonce, people like that was a way to try to get that last bit of people that would not go along, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody I know has been in the military, and they would tell you, go into a mess hall, and the only people praying with their heads bowed at lunch are Black people. And, you know, you can kind of see that. Like, I will go to, like, you know, Bossup and Black Site and read the comments, you know, and it's so different than going to, like, say, a D-listed or Celeb Bitchy. You know, I mean, people are still, like, half the comments about Beyonce are the same things you're saying on your website. You know, like, there's something satanic, something's not right. I mean, it's like people, they are feeling it. They're very attuned to this stuff.
Yeah, there's a definite audience for these conspiracy theories that come from the Black community, because, you know, and I don't know, I don't want to theorize on why that is, but I feel like they're aware of what's going on because they see it too, with these rappers getting dark, like this ASAP Mob, ASAP Rocky, and all these rappers, they're getting into some really dark stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, that, like, this is where, like, I see you would have so much influence, in a positive way, because you're sort of speaking to what they are murmuring about, you know. And, you know, the cool thing that I saw was when Beyonce took that song, Precious Lord, from, you know, Let Us See, and sang it, Black people literally said on those sites that she did that to prevent the Holy Spirit from showing up at the Grammys. Like, they were dead on, and I was like, woo, you know. They were saying that, you know, because Beyonce, they said she's so into the occult, her and her husband are into that Illuminati, they were trying to keep the Holy Spirit out of that Grammy place.
That's interesting. I didn't read that, so
yeah. And I was interesting, like, that they
kind of are catching on to that.
Yeah,
but, like, they've mainstreamed R&B and rap music so much and perverted it to the point where, you know, they're giving out the best rap album to a white guy, best R&B singer to a white guy, you know, and it, like, things are just got totally twisted and out of proportion, which is, as David Icke claims, is the calling card of the Illuminati, because that's all they do. They have hospitals that make you sicker, schools that don't educate you, and so on and so forth.
Well, Well, yeah, that's the inversion of magic. I mean, I think I commented on that. Like, it was important to have Katy Perry. It was important to have Justin Bieber, right? Because Justin Bieber was a very out loud Catholic. And I knew it when they took Selena Gomez, because she was the Disney girl, and made sure that she was dating him. And the second he started dating her, everything flipped upside down. Like, his entire value system just went on its head.
Yeah, and same with her, because she was pretty, you know, quote unquote normal. And then the first thing that I recalled her doing that I was like, whoa, was Spring Breakers with James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the movie, have you ever seen Spring Breakers?
No, James Franco gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, he's totally into this, but that's another conversation. But yeah, so she was in this movie, and I actually love the movie. I'm like one of the only people I know that likes this movie, but she actually plays like the straight-laced character in it, but everyone around her is like into pure debauchery, Vanessa Hudgens and Ashley Benson and all that. And proceed with what I know where you're going with this. I'll let you kind of keep going with it. So, you know, you were saying that, you know, they like to take the wholesome image and then make them do certain things.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, part of, like, Thelma, because I also read, you know, on my journey, it's like, once you start going down these paths, I mean, it's like, I've read all of Aleister Crowley's books, and I've read Thelma and that type of magic, and part of it is inverting things that are part of black magic, is taking one image and inverting it. So it's like inverting the cross, inverting the pentagram, you know, taking that pentagram, which was the seal of Solomon, turning it upside down. Katy Perry was a minister's daughter, and taking her and beating her down was part of the whole process. You know, you mm-hmm. kind of, you know, you take something good and then twist it. And getting people to buy into that twist, they go along for the ride. And I guess, you know, since we're almost near our end of our time, I just wanted to bring up this one movie and get anybody to watch it. Roger Ebert loved it, so ignore Rotten Tomatoes. But it's a movie from the 80s called The Golden Child.
Oh, right. And, yeah. You told me about that, and I was like, you know, that's, you know, I'm a pretty huge 80s buff, and I never watched Golden Child, and I was delighted to see it was on Netflix. So last night I watched like the first 15 minutes and then I fell asleep. But anyways, proceed. Yeah, no, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, in it, you know, they go step by step. There's this little kid who was born in Tibet, and he's going to be like the next Dalai Lama, or, you know, sort of next Buddha kind of kid. And he was able to resurrect a bird. You know, and forget the fact that this is Buddhism for a second. The magic works the same. So they have this pure creature, and a lot of people don't realize, a lot of Christians don't realize that this can still happen to you, but go in the Old Testament. It's true. You can, you can still be, you know, a victim of dark forces. They just have to slowly beat you down over and over and over again. And so to get this pure creature to turn, which is what they need to have happen, you know, they kill another kid his age. I mean, it's actually a dark movie. It's like, you know, it was played off as a comedy because Eddie Murphy's in it, but it's actually really dark. You know, I mean, there's all this bad stuff going on. This kidnapped kid, you know, people are taking hostage, there's demons in it, you know, but because Eddie Murphy, it's a comedy. But, you know, they have to beat down this kid. So they put him in this room with all these bad and evil images and bad symbols and this and that, and, you know, blood of innocent kids. And it's, you know, and all of this to beat down this perfect innocent being. And that's how I feel that we all are right now, you know, that not everybody's perfect and innocent. Most of us are flawed, but we're now surrounded everywhere we go with these symbols, with darkness. I mean, it's like, watch Disney kid shows now. It's like scary as heck. You know, you know.
Yeah, they got cartoons with alien invasions and parents getting murdered. I mean, it's kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and all these things that used to be dark, you know, are now seen in a good way. And it's like, you know, and again, I'm guilty because, like, you know, I'll watch the Monster High stuff every once in a while. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like I like this stuff too. I mean, you know, we're all a little bit intrigued by dark, and
right, and I think part of that is because, you know, you're a similar age to me. I think our generation was raised in this stuff, and that's not my excuse, but that's kind of my excuse. Is like, look, man, like I was born and raised on, you know, satanic death metal and dark gangster rap and horror movies like Friday the 13th. So like, I still enjoy those things, but you know, I now I'm starting to become aware, like, oh man, like these really do have an effect. But like, you know, most of your whole personality is embedded by the time you're like 8 years old or something crazy like that. So, you know, I don't know. Is there any turning back for me? No, probably not. But like, you know, all you can do is kind of be aware that this is going on. And
well,
you know, I don't
can
know.
Also see it with a different light. I mean, it's like I watch it, you know, like I still listen to Led Zeppelin. But I don't let myself get as, I don't know, there's like a catch in me now. Like I understand where it's taking me. Or, you know, I watch these shows, but now I watch them go, oh, see, there's that. Oops, there's that. And it's like, you know, you sort of catch it now. But the kids today aren't. I mean, they're now, oh, gosh, what's that name of that? Oh, that little Disney Illuminati thing. Anyway, it's
the boy meets girl or something?
Well, they're all are. I shouldn't say one. I'm just saying they're like constantly now they're surrounded by this stuff and they're constantly, and everybody's being beaten down. It's on your smartphone. It's on your tablet. You know, it's, you walk in Starbucks, you walk everywhere you go, you're now surrounded by it. And it's harder and harder to resist this. And so I did stupid things. Well, not stupid, but like I, you know, got rid of my cable service. If I want to watch a movie now, I watch it and I'm prepared for it. If I want to watch this stuff, you know, it's like, at least I'm not bombarded by it anymore, you know, and I'm happier. You know, I used to be really angry when all I did was, you know, have TV on, you know, cause it's like, it's just hits you with depressing stuff. I mean, news is never good. I mean, they're basically traumatizing you to break you down, to make you, you know, like when you constantly think the world is a terrible place to live, then, you know, you're going to seek out other means to alleviate that stress. I mean, you just are, you know, be it music, be it drugs, be it drink, be it whatever. And it's like, you know, I'll give you an example. Like people talk about guns, gun violence, gun this and that. Well, there's 270 million guns. We have 360 million people in the United States, 12,000 gun related homicides per year. That means that each one of us has a 0.0083% chance of being shot. That is next to nothing, right? All right, so then they want to make it so you got to be scared of guns because all they do is tell you how bad it is. Okay, but it's not. Same thing with black males. Okay, so they keep saying, well, black males, the rate of incarceration, blah, blah, blah. So you look at the prison population. You look at the violent crimes, right? You do the numbers. There's 25 million black people. Less than 1% of all black people are in jail. Less than one. You know,
is that right?
The way that, but they talk to you. And they don't tell you actual numbers. They always tell you rates. Well, the incarceration rates of black men are 10 times this or whatever. Okay.
All
but
right.
There's still 10 times of nothing. You know, there's very, you know, our crime rates are not that bad. You know, I mean, they have to invent drug, you know, non-violent crimes to put people in jail now because people just are, they're so enjoying their television and modern life that they're not going out and doing violent things, you know, so they have to invent crime. But they scare you constantly. So you're constantly scared of black people. You're constantly scared of guns. You're constantly scared of this if you watch the news. But when you stop, you start seeing that the world's like a good place, you know?
Absolutely,
and there's good in it, too. You know, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I guess, like, we can kind of get off, you know, on a positive note. But, like, you know, once you become aware of this stuff and you're aware that the symbols are everywhere, once you catch them, the magic's broken. You know, when you know that this song is trying to sell you XYZ, then you're not buying it anymore. Once you realize that these symbols are there, you know, the spell gets broken. And if we can just make people more aware of that, you know, we can break that and to do other things. Like one of the things that Freeman tried to do, and I think it was a good idea, maybe he needed more help, was to just get people talking to each other again, getting people to leave their house, getting people to do things, you know, just having dinner parties, having people in your backyard again, you know, just being, sending positive vibes, being, you know, positive again, you know, having positive images. And, you know, I mean, I think that's the key, because I don't think that, you know, I'm going to go back to Chronicles about, like, you know, if people call by my name, will, you know, bow their heads and be humble and ask for forgiveness, I'll heal their land. I don't think it's too late. You know, I don't. And, you know, I think that all it takes is a few good people to just start something. And, you know, I don't know if it's anarchy that I'm not talking about. Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but I think that we can use these same tools that they use to get at us. And just like they've been doing it, we can invert them too, but we'll invert it in a positive way. You know?
Right. Right.
Take their same
tools. Well, hey, that's kind of what I get a lot of questions about, like, well, okay, all this is happening. What do we do about it? And I mean, there's not like a proactive thing we can do per se. I'm not going to stand on the corner with a bullhorn screaming, because that's not going to help the issue anyways. But yeah, like you said, it's promoting positive environments, not spreading the fear-based thinking, and just becoming aware is really the key to everything, is just becoming aware that these things are happening.
And you can also, like I said, use their same tools against them. Just like you know how, like, they have their little, you know, okay symbol? Just turn mm-hmm. it upside down. And, you know, the hook 'em horns, you know, turn mm-hmm. it upside down. And, you know, so you can sort of trick people into, like, you know, doing the positive thing, you know, with it by, you know, using these symbols that they've now proliferated everywhere, and switch it. You know, I mean, that they did it to us. We can.
There you go. Them, reversal, you know? Of the energy flow there.
Yeah, just change
well,
it.
Well, hey, I think this, I can hear minds everywhere being blown. And, you know, I think you're doing awesome research there on your own. And by all means, we're going to get you back on the show again, where we can talk a little bit more about your water theories. We talked about a little bit about the age of Aquarius ushered in. Yeah. And that's some really interesting stuff, but we'll definitely save that for the next time we get you on here. But thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And it's nice to see that some of the watcher community out there is helping to contribute to this argument that we're trying to present to the masses to wake them up. So anyways, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. We'll see ya.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's going to make me want to go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.